let I get up here, I'm going to start talking slow. So, anybody here for the first time? Thank you. There's a, in the front of your seats, there's a card you could fill out. If you wouldn't mind giving it, and one of the ushers will come by, but just to let us know that you're here and what you, and we want to thank you for being here today. Last Sunday morning was Resurrection Sunday, but before you're doing all these announcements, you know, Kenny had a fun week this week. I just want you to know, I got to tell him the guy, because yes, we do. Those that don't know, if you by now you probably do that, we do a construction company on the side. It seems, and yes, it does take us states away. But we were down in Kentucky painting at Taco Bell, and we had two rough days running back and forth to church, to staff, to meetings. We're trying to get it all in. So he went down by himself, and I'm in South Carolina, the other job we're at, and I flew down there just for the day to help them finish things up. He sends me a picture, you know, and you know you love Indiana weather, but we got the whole building painted, all the metals done. All we have is one purple thing on the very top, you know, purple paint. And the new building, if you haven't seen the new Taco Bell, it's like the one in Canby. It's gray and white, basically. He sends me a picture on my phone of this purple stripe with purple going all the way down the wall we just painted. And he calls me. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm burning up here in South Carolina working on a roof. He's like, oh, okay. Well, did you get that picture? I said, no, I can't see it. It's literally, my phone can't get the brightness of it. I went back to the hotel that night. I went, oh, he's got. So you talk about a bad day. The whole wall had purple paint going all the way down. So you had to repaint it. I had a lot of prayer for Kenny that night. He was a very frustrated painter that day. But here's the deal. That pop-up shower came, and when it left, it was nice the rest of the day for him, but just to basically fix the wall that just got destroyed. So, you know, the fun thing about painting and working out there, the weather changes good. But we do actually enjoy all the work we do. But we, you know, then we spend our whole day here doing some other stuff, and we have a lot of fun balancing our schedules. But he had a fun week this week. I just want you to know, I felt bad for the guy. But I will share one thing that's really cool. Those that you know, he shares so much about the battle that we face when it comes to having pain. And last week I told you, even when I was working a lot, I do a lot of stuff. I mean, I roof, I paint, we do all that kind of stuff. And as we're up, working a lot, I just want you to know that last Sunday morning, I shared with you about how, boy, I started having a lot of pain. And him and I working together was good because we both have to battle in faith, believing that, you know, these long days don't. And he shared Tuesday night, and he was a lot of pain from driving and everything, and he just kept praying. Tuesday worked the whole day, and I realized, wow, he's really good. And Tuesday night, he came up here on the testimony and just said, as he just began to just walk out in faith what the Lord's done for us, there was no pain, no everything. And I just think these are more than miracles than you realize. Because when you battle physical, when you're fighting physical battles, those that do, you know that the battle to win is something we have to daily choose to live in that victory. And I just want to encourage some of you, because some of you are like, you know what, brother, I'm fighting this. Okay, are you winning? I want to be victorious. And today, heading into the message, I would like to teach us as a church how we can be more victorious in the areas of our everyday life. And I'll give you some biblical structure on what God said about how we can restore all these things that's been taken from us. And that's my heart. I want to see us restored. I want to see us as a church come to a place. So last week on Resurrection Sunday, we talked a little bit about John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Not God. God doesn't bring destruction. God doesn't bring death. God doesn't bring sickness. God is not the author of any of those bad things. God does good. He's, I've given you life and life abundantly. And we talked about that last. Resurrection life is what God has promised us to live in, life and life of abundance. And I just want to encourage you. That is God's promise for your life. If we're not living life and life abundantly, then we've got to check in ourselves why we're not. It is God's desire, it's God's will that we live a life of victory. That's what Christ did for us. And so if you would, last week I ended with Genesis 50, verse 20. So if you just start, let's start there. And I'm actually just going to finish up. And I want to let you know as you're turning to Genesis 50. One thing I love about working with our staff at this church, because they're so amazing. After church on Sunday last week, Diane, our prayer leader, and a very awesome voice of prophetic for our lives, shared with me through a text that while she was worshiping last week, had no idea that what I was going to preach. She was standing here and she saw that the destroyer, and I don't know, I'm going to summarize it. She's like, yeah, go ahead, please, just summarize it today. that there, she saw a picture of this destroyer trying to come in and destroy the things of the kingdom. And she began to pray and stand and begin to see these things. And then later on, she went home and she prayed about it. She shared with Josh. I'm going to bring Josh involved here too. There he is back there. Share with him about Josh was saying how the enemy is trying to come in to bring destruction. And he said, you know, that the king of the king of the locust? Destroyers that being the king of the locust. And as they were sharing this stuff with me, I thought, that's really powerful. Well, when I get a word like that, I ponder it, I pray over it, and because it's coming from sources I respect. So we're sitting in our meeting on Wednesday, and we're talking about Kenny preaching this Sunday. And I said, would you do me a favor? Can we switch it up a little bit? I really want to take with the word, I read them the word that was sent to me. I really want to take this word, and I want to follow up from last week, and I really would like to put a nail in the coffin of every area of destruction in your life. Resurrection power not only lives in us, but we have to choose to live in it. We have to choose to let those things. So what I would like to share with you this morning are three things. One is the Lord wants to bring repairing, restoring, and he wants to bring healing in your lives. Okay? And let's believe that today is a day that whatever, whether it's financially, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, the Lord wants to restore, repair, and heal every damaged area in your life. If you believe that, where we're going to walk out of here pretty victorious today. But here's a story that I absolutely love. One of my, honestly, this is one of my favorite stories in all the scripture. Joseph's story, those that don't know this, let's jump ahead to this. When he was a boy, he was the favorite child. I shared a little bit last week. Coat of many colors, everyone talked about Joseph, the favored one. He was the one that, he had visions of these all these haystacks, and then one of them was this one massive one. They all bowed to him, the star. He had all the, everyone knew that Joseph was daddy's favorite. He lived his whole life that way. His brothers decided they got so mad, they hated him so much, they called him out into this area to bring him some stuff, and they did. They sold him into slavery. And they thought, that's the end of good old Joe. He's out of here. But during the course of Joseph's life, he saw trial and tragedy and redemption. Trial, he was broken down, sold in slavery, bought out of this, brought back up, brought in, brought to prison for something he didn't do, you name it. And all of a sudden, this guy has been restored into the highest place in the land under Pharaoh himself. He is second in command, and he has been blessed of the Lord and blessed because he's chosen to live through trial in faithfulness. One of the things I can encourage you, whatever you're going through in life, Joseph taught us something that no matter what the trial was, he knew that God and his word was going to be, come to pass. I think of this story. You think about that. When Joseph was sold into slavery, there was this pit they threw them in. And he was sitting in a pit, and all he could see was dirt everywhere. But you know, when he could look up at that sky, he saw stars. And one of the visions God gave him, which I don't think was a coincidence, was all these stars that God, he said, and that will be your descendants. I will bless you like that. Every time he could look up in captivity and bondage, he could look up and see the promise of the Lord that he is going to bring these things to come to pass in his life. And finally, they're coming to pass. Genesis 50 comes, and now dad is dead, and now the brothers are conspiring, going, wait a minute here. Joe knows everything we did to him. Joseph knew that we sold him. We put him out to death. He's going to get revenge on us. So let's read in verse 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us to all evil that we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying. Now you know they're making this up, right? Okay, this is his brother's lying, so Joseph doesn't repay them with the evil. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, that the trespass of your brethren and their sin, what they did unto you, unto the evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of the Father. And Joseph wept when they spoke this to him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we will be your servants. And here's the response of a redeemed, healed, whole person. Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am not in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. And bring to pass as it is this day to save much people that are alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I believe this is one of my favorite stories because what his brothers conspired to bring evil, he said, what all you did for evil, God turned all for good. And now look, I'm the one in command. I'm the one that can bless you that cursed me. I want to be in a position as a church, I want to be in a condition as a believer and as a person, that when people try to curse me, speak out, I want to be the one that can bless them no matter what. Isn't that the place we want to be, that we're blessing those that curse us? I don't know about you. I found out that watching my son drive, because when I flew back down to South Carolina, I didn't have a vehicle. And because of the Masters, by the way, being so close, I couldn't even rent a vehicle down there. They wanted $250 for a car for a day. I'm like, no, thank you. So I Ubered, and then I had to ride with my son. I did realize something, and he's not here, so that's good, that I know that we have an aggressive trait of driving in my family. But it's amazing that when you're in the back seat of someone's truck and it's your son driving and you're gripping everything you can, I'm realizing, wow, they sure have taken, I don't know where they got that behavior from. But I have no idea. So with that being said, we're going to just, those that have ridden with me, I'm a very slow, patient driver. But isn't it funny how driving brings that out in me? Because when I'm driving, I don't have a lot of that patience. If you're in the fast lane, you go fast, right? That's a simple understanding. Get out of the way for those, you know, if you're going to, anyways. But you know, it teaches us something about ourselves. Driving has been a very humbling experience because now I get to watch my kids, drive. It's very humbling. Did I really drive that bad? And the answer is yes, by the way. The story is this. I watch these things and these behavior traits. And as I want to bless those that curse me, and yet there's people cutting off. I have so many bad thoughts towards people when I'm driving. It's not good. I mean, I'm like, how dare you? Like they can hear me, by the way. You know, like, how dare you cut? You go here, you go here. And I realize inside of me it shows two things. One is that I am trying to control the people around me so I can get my way. Anybody? Driving? It's because they're in your way, right? That's why you're angry. They're in your way. And secondly, you realize that the anger I'm having is, where is the grace and the patience that God wants us to do? And it seems like driving, we get away with it because no one can see it outside of the little ones watching as growing up. But you watch these things and you realize it ought to show us that the flesh inside of us still has those tendencies. And driving for me is a one way. Some of you don't care. Some of you are the ones in the fast lane going slow, going, oh, there's people around me? I didn't know that. You know, so that you guys right now, I'm not preaching to you at all. I'm just kind of encouraging you strongly that the other lane works too. But it shows our flesh. What areas in your life show those areas that when people are cursing and he gets you worked up, these are areas that are unredeemed that God wants to bring healing and restoration to. So let's start with Isaiah chapter 28, if you turn over there with me. I'm sorry, Isaiah 58, excuse me. It's like, wait a minute, that's not in my notes. Can't read my writing. When we were talking about fasting in January, since as a tradition, we've just decided to open up the opportunities to fast throughout the year at different times. We were talking about fasting. We talk about when, as we humble ourselves with the Lord, we fast, we pray, we ask the Lord to do these certain things. Right in the middle of that chapter, if we jump down to... Let's just jump to verse 12. Let's do it. And I hate doing it, but he's talking about after you fast, he binds up he lets the burdens loose, he breaks the shackles, and all these things that is being promised to us. And he says in let's do verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places, and shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer, the paths that dwell in. And I believe this is the heart that when I got that text, I remembered this verse, a repairer of the breach and a restorer of the paths that dwell in. God wants to call us people. Not only are we to be the restorer and the repairer around us, we must become that ourselves. I have a question. This is just simply for us. Has there been anything in your life that you're going through, have been through, that has stolen from you, robbed from you, taken from you physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, that you still battle with today? I believe God wants to bring restoration, repairing of those things. A couple years ago, I was just talking the story with a friend this week. They don't go to church here, and they were going through some marriage struggles. And as they were going through this struggle, their marriage was really a wreck, and the husband was a friend of mine, and his parents were very good friends of mine, and they were very active in my life back in the day. So he calls me up one day and says, I don't get it. My wife is going through a bunch of stuff right now. She's being unfaithful. These things are going on. And my parents just seem to want to enable her to live that way, and I don't know what to do. And he called me, and he says, I have every right to divorce. And I asked him, I said, so this is just an aside note. I said, if you bring divorce up, remember, Jesus says this, yes, you have the right for divorce, but it says that divorce is because of a hardened heart. God can bring healing to these things still. And so this was, well, I don't know, years ago, 10 years ago or more. As I was going through it, talking to my friend and his parents, I asked them when I finally got and called them and said, what's going on here? I've known you for years. You've helped me through some things over the years. What's going on? And they said, listen, we believe that if we would take the side of our son, we would not see our daughter-in-law restored, and we look at her as our daughter. And I said, I questioned, well, you're enabling them. No, we're not. We're bringing healing in this. Long story short, after a couple of years, they got separated. One moved out of state, and the other one stayed local. And when they got the person here out of the state where they were in, the condition they were in, this person began to go into a place and flourish spiritually, get set free. Their marriage, now I don't know how many kids they got. They got a ton of kids. Their marriage is restored and everything. And I think of that story because here's why. When we see something tragic happen in relationships or tragic in our own lives, a lot of times we want to discard those things. We want to throw them away and say, there's no way this could be restored. There's no way we can find reparations here. This is gone. And quite honestly, when I made the phone call, I thought it was gone too. You know, when you hear from the person being hurt, a lot of times all you can hear is the pain, the trauma they're going through. And when you realize that if you can get them out of that environment, which they did, to a different state, by the way, they were able to be restored and healed. And not only is the person, I can tell you, both parties are, this is years ago, are addiction free. They're faithful to one another again, and they're walking the path that God had called them to be. And as I was just praying over that, this morning as I was just thinking of stories, writing them down, I thought of that one because here's why. When we think of something as unredeemable, God looks at it as, give me a chance. When we look at something that is totally lost and failed, God says, hold on, let me do this. I'll fix this for you. If you can trust me in the process, I will bring healing, and I will make it not just good, I'll make it better than it was. And I believe that's the heart of God. This marriage, I really would love to see if they would come here and share their testimony because it's just so phenomenal. I would love for them to share with you what God did through them, both parties. And the person, by the way, who was not living that way, who was not living, yeah, they had some issues in their own life, like we all do. But it's amazing the miracle that God did in both their lives to bring restoration. And when he did, now they're walking a life of abundance and blessing, and it's exciting to see them walk for the things of the Lord. If we would just grab a hold of these things and say, God, give this marriage, give this relationship, give this friendship, give my finances, give God a chance to show himself again. He wants to be the repairer. He wants to bring in the restorer that you need in your life and your relationships. And I believe this. I also believe this for this pandemic. I forgot this in my notes. This thing that started over a year ago has brought great destruction to a lot of people's lives. You realize this is not just a physical thing going on. I'm not trying to undermine the virus. I'm saying it has brought a lot of destruction to a lot of people. We were reading statistics this last week that some church attendances are down 40% because people have just chosen to stay online. They don't want to get out. They found out there's a different way. We've retrained people to coming together as believers to gather together and join together physically. Now we found other ways to not gather, not assemble together. We found that even workplaces right now, I had our neighbor, she's like, I can't wait. They're going to let me retire working from home and never have to see a person again. Is that healthy? I don't think so. I was talking to, I'm trying to think who it was. Yes. And there's you guys, Alan and Kim were here last week. They were showing me a story about his neighbor who got a job and was going to retire. And said, okay, I'm going to retire next year. And they said, well, I don't have to now because now they're letting me work from home. And the worst part of my job was having to see people. So now I can work from home. I'm going to work an extra 10 years because I can do this. And then this is what they said. I realize now after doing this for the last 6 months, I'm realizing that I don't ever leave my home at all now. And the friendships I did had were the ones at work. You see, we're going to come to a place here soon where people are going to get lonely. because they've gotten what they want. They thought they got what they wanted. But as a church, I want to see this church flourish, not just numbers-wise. I've been here a long time. I want to see people come in here and get a place where they have family, connection. That's why when Kenny was reading off all the things to get involved in, I mean, I thought next thing, after the food, I thought you were going to offer to pay him. I really did. I thought you were just going to offer, everyone that comes in gets an extra $5 an hour. You know, the kids are getting 10, we'll give you 5. You know, he was really trying to draw them in. But what we do, we really want you to get connected. If you don't come to the Monday night men's or women's group or the Tuesday night prayer, there's times to get connected outside of Sundays, because I don't believe the church is supposed to just be a Sunday morning experience. It's supposed to be a bunch of believers gathering together as family and as friends, coming together to be a part of something. And that's a lot of times where restoration, repairing, and healing comes. Is relationships that brought pain can also bring healing. We don't want to be islands. We don't want to be to ourselves. We want to get involved and engage in people so we can see these things happen. Go to Joel chapter 2 with me, and then we're going to keep this theme going for a second. Joel 2 is the one that we quote a lot because it's in Acts 2 for Pentecost. But this is so powerful. So Joel chapter 1 verse 4 says this, that the canker or the platform has left the locusts eaten, and all their crops were destroyed. So in chapter 1 verse 4, you see that all their crops were destroyed. Verse 24 of chapter 2, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and which the great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. He has dealt with wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. And also the servants and the handmaids of them I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in the mountain Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel 1, verse 4 says this, the cankerworm, the plant, all these, they destroyed the land, destroyed all the fields of harvest, and bringing destruction. And I just believe this is such a powerful word, if you could just dive into this, but I'm just trying to use it as one text. The enemy is coming out to bring destruction all of our lives. Kill, steal, and destroy. And that means when you can have the enemy come in and tear out your crops, this is their livelihood. This is everything they own. And they were living in a place of desolation and despair. And the Lord comes and brings this word. And actually, verse 21 says, fear not, O land, and be glad, for the Lord will do great things. Then he tells them all the great things. And one of them says, your threshing floors, your crops will be restored. Everything that the enemy has stolen from you, I will not only pay it back, but it'll be full. I want this to be a promise that every one of you in this room grab a hold of. Whatever you have lost, God not only restores. If you look at the life of Job, Job lost everything, and at the end of the day, he got everything back, multiplied over, and then the kids he lost, they didn't double the kids because you can't double human life, but he got that amount back too. God is always about restoration. He's always about healing. He's always about repairing those things which are bad. So whatever you have been through in your life, whatever the mistakes you've made, a lot of times when you see destruction, it's not because of always things that has been done to you, it's things you've done. When I make bad decisions, I have to live in shame. I don't have to because I get free from it. But I'm the one that has these things poured upon me because condemnation comes from sin. But we are free from condemnation according to Romans 8:1, and we don't have to live in it. But we cause these things on ourselves, and the Lord wants to deliver us today from all these things. If there's unforgiveness, if there's someone in your life hurting you, if there's things going on in your life today, I just believe we'll walk out of here free. If you would, go back to Jeremiah, just read this one verse. I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I'll restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. They called you an outcast, but I call you healed and whole. They call you this, but I call you set free and delivered. This is what God is calling you today. So let me keep going. I'm trying to hurry up to the end because I just really want to pray some things over you guys, and we want to have some time for baptisms too. So last but not least, Isaiah 44. Go back to Isaiah. We're not done there yet. It's like a Bible drill this morning. Hurry up, Isaiah 44. Oh, I hate just jumping in the middle of stuff. It's not fun. All right, if you jump down to verse 22, it says this: I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin return to me, for I have redeemed you. That's the most beautiful picture. As a cloud, your sins hang over you, but as a cloud, I take it away, and I redeemed you. The word redeem is the word that I want to focus on right now. Redeemed means this. It's like you were ransomed, and he paid the ransom for you. You ever watch these TV shows and, someone gets kidnapped and they have a ransom out there for, if you don't pay this much money, you're never going to see your kid again. You know, so that's what Satan did to every one of us. Because of the sin we lived in, he goes, listen, because of sin and torment, they're going to have eternal damnation, they're going to have separation from God, and there is a place that will be eternally separated from God called hell that is made for Satan and his angels. But if we do not accept the free gift of salvation and do not walk in repentance, and accepting this gift of salvation, that will be our judgment one day too. So we have to preach the gospel and get people to a place where they understand the power of salvation. And so Jesus said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and I'm going to, with my precious blood and my life, I'm going to buy them back. And when he bought you back, he purchased your salvation. Listen to the word salvation, soteria, in the Greek. This is what it means. It literally means all these things. This is probably by a long shot, is my favorite Greek word study because it is the most powerful study. When Jesus, your faith has healed you, your faith has saved you, you've been delivered. This is all the same Greek word. It's the same word. It means this: to rescue, to deliver, to heal, to save, to prosper, to forgive. This is what the word save means. So when you go back in there and say, oh, but I've been saved. Okay, have you been? Have you been rescued from everything? Have you been delivered from everything? Are you healed? Are you walking in forgiveness and living out the prosperity that God's promised you? The word save is not just to say, I'm going to go to heaven one day because I believe in Jesus Christ. It is a lifestyle of living out this promise of being healed, of being saved, of being free from addiction, from being free from these things in our lives, and walking in a place of complete freedom and prosperity before the Lord. That's our promise. If we're not walking in these things, I truly believe God wants to say, listen, I want to restore everything that's been taken. So he says, I've called you out. I'm getting rid of that cloud. I've taken it upon myself so you can live a life of redemption. What I bought for you is promised. Here it is. It's all yours. You're now healed. You're now free. Take it. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us, bought, purchased us from the curse because he was cursed, because cursed is every man who hangs from a tree. So Jesus became a curse because he was the one on the tree for us so we can get set free from curses. You realize there's nothing in your life right now that should be able to come at you that Jesus did not have a ransom for. So if you have a need financially, Jesus has a ransom for that for you. If you have a need physically, emotionally, spiritually, Jesus took care of all these things for you and purchased it for you. You know, a lot of people, I share it all the time. People, oh, you're one of those prosperity preachers. I am. Oh, 100%. I'm a healing preacher. I'm a salvation preacher. I'm a forgiveness preacher. I believe that everything that word means is ours. I'm not going to just focus on one because I believe it's all encompassing for every one of us to live in the fullness of God. Now, a lot of times people get focused just on the prosperity part. You've seen them. They love to talk about money, live about money, show all their money. That's fine. They're missing out on the fullness of the gospel, but at least they understand that part of it. God's desire for you is to be blessed, is to prosper you, is to heal you, is to have you walk in all these things that he's... And so my heart is this for you today. Isaiah 1:17 also talks about he purchased you and he bought you and he redeemed you. Every one of us in this room has been redeemed. We've been set free from the curse. And believe it or not, I'm going to be closing here in just a few seconds. And if Brandy, where are you at? If you want to get ready for, you want to go ahead and get ready for baptism. We end up, by the way, only having one baptism day, which is, so things have changed around. But it's going to be worth it because there's one person we're going to do this whole baptism for today. Isn't that great? Yeah. And So, yeah, she's good. So, and actually, what's funny is I just want you to even know, I'm excited. We'll share a bit about that in a minute. But my heart is simply this. I don't want to see a church in bondage anymore. I don't want to see a church being destroyed anymore, picked off financially. If you have a business or you have your finances being attacked because it seems like things always go wrong, I'm tithing, I'm doing this, but things, are you ready to have the devourer, destroyer removed from those areas in your life? If you physically continue to be attacked every day of your life, I'm ready to have the healer come and be a part, and I want restoration in every part of my body. I want it physically, I want it emotionally, I want it spiritually. I want restoration to come in every aspect of my life. And I want that for us as a church. I want that for every one of us in this place. So before I do baptisms here in a minute, before I close, we've done this before. Kenny, I think last time, didn't you say something that someone jumped in the day of? We do have extra towels here. You do have to go home wet, but that's okay. If you have never been water baptized, we'll do it right here on the spot, by the way. I don't have any shorts with me. If I have my work truck out there, I have like, because I travel so much, I keep a work bag. You always throw, you know, tie them up real tight, because I might be a little bit bigger than most of you here, but just throwing it out there. But baptism is an outward confession of what God has done inside you. If you've never been water baptized, you don't have to do that actually today. If you want to, you can. But we do want you to have that freedom to express what Christ did in you and for you. And as Brandy will tell you in a minute, I'll share a little bit in a second too for her when she gets here. But I believe this is the most exciting thing as we make a public declaration of our faith, of what Christ did. It's public. And it goes back, when you read through the centuries, you realize that even back in the, it's still like this in the Middle East. I was talking to Abraham when we were doing baptisms in Pakistan one year. And right behind their church, they have this outdoor, like, baptistry. And I don't know how many people, we saw hundreds, if not more, get saved throughout. And we said, tomorrow we'll do baptisms. And like 50 people showed up. I'm like, wait a minute, there were like probably 400 or 500 people that we prayed for, and we were over, I mean, there was probably 20,000 people in the meeting. I bet you 5,000 people raised their hand to be saved. Where are they at? And he said, brother, let me tell you that in this country, if they were Muslim, if they're born again, and if they make that public declaration through baptism, they can actually then have be killed for it. Because that is the display physically that people can see. So raising your hand, now I believe these people are still saved and we're in other countries, but it's amazing that this public declaration of our faith is vital to all of us to show that what God did on the inside is also there. Here's my conclusion for you this morning. I'd like for every one of you, I want to pray for every one of you in this room, not individually, or it can't be. I want every one of us to walk out of here knowing the resurrection power we talked about last week is able to deliver you from everything the destroyer is coming out to do. If your marriage needs prayer, I want to pray for marriages. If your relationships with your children or your extended family needs healed, I want to pray for that. So first thing I do, I want to see the destroyer who's trying to destroy relationships get removed out of every one of yours today by taking some steps of faith and declaring and praying over those things. I want to see financially, and I want to see healing physically over all of our lives. If that is you, right where you're seated today, we're going to pray. And if you'd like to, you can have someone agree with you right next to you. That's fine too. I don't care how you do this. All I know is that I'm responding to this. When the Lord gives a word through someone from a prophetic voice, I want to respond. And by Wednesday, when I can't shake it, I realize I want to respond to that word, that the destroyer is being exposed for who he is, a destroyer. And he is bringing destruction to your lives, to your families. And today, I'd like to just go ahead and put a line in the sand and say, no more. You both have to want it. Let me talk to marriages for a second. I've been married for 23 years. Feels like, I can't win with this one. If it says 5, it's like, oh, if I say 50, it sounds like it's miserable. You know, you can't do it. But those that don't know us, I love to tell you about us. When we got married, we got married out of obedience. Obedience. God said, marry him. God said, marry her. We did it. There was a lot of stuff that we brought into our marriage, and for years we struggled with just being able to get along well. We had a lot of frustrations. You have known me. I've shared this before. You had known me times where we were up all night arguing or discussing things. What's the Christian word for it? I'm not sure what they call it, but we were up all night not getting along very well. And she'd stay home as an excuse. Oh, she wasn't feeling well. And I'd go in there and preach, and then she'd hear out later, oh, my gosh, boy, Adam just preached a great sermon. And she gets so mad. Like, how in the world can God do that when you're such a jerk, you know? Yeah. Okay, so, and I was a jerk. But we went through a lot. But you know what fight you do? You fight through the hard times. You don't give up and you don't quit. And then there's times where we're in a totally different place. But you know what happened? A couple things. One is we both decided to commit to getting set free from some of our own bonds in our lives. That's okay. I wasn't talking to you. So cute. But we committed to getting ourselves healed. So we went to a place in Chicago, and we ended up going to Dallas, which, by the way, how we met Dr. Malone was because of us. The way he became a spiritual mentor and a spiritual father to me was because we were looking for people to mentor us to be better as believers and Christians. I could pastor a church, but realize I didn't have it all together. This is my 24th year, I think, here, doing this. And I realized when I get myself better and she chooses to get, we get better together. And then you know what? There were some things physically that were the enemy would like to attack. Vaughn Clark was sitting in our kitchen over our old house, and he walked up to Beth and I and said, could you sit down for a minute? I want to pray. And he literally prayed a blessing over us, and a physical miracle took place right there in that kitchen. And I'm like, wow, that's a miracle. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, God has healed a marriage. 20 years later, she still puts up with me. I'm still the same guy, by the way. So trust me, there's things that she's like, oh, it's still him. But we didn't give up. We didn't quit. And I believe that's the problem today, is that whether it's our marriages, whether it's our physical lives, don't give up on healing. God's word is true. He is the healer. I am the Lord God, your healer. I am the God that heals you. That is the same God in Exodus as he is today right here in this church. God is a healer. It's his character. It's his nature. He's a healer, and he wants to see his people walk out this healing power. And he does it out of compassion. He doesn't do it. This idea that you have to be, you know, listen, don't be in condemnation if you're going through a battle physically right now. You know what's funny? It's weird. Christians can now start walking in more freedom in sin in their life than they can in physical pain. Because the church has taught that you don't have enough faith. You don't have this. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can get yourself believing that God is a healer, and that's his character and his nature, and you're not begging him to do something, but you're just thanking him for who he is, you're going to see a whole new God. He wants to see you walk in healing. Those that need financial miracles because you're struggling, I'm believing right now God's desire. Oh, wow, the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. You look through the Proverbs, you look at so many scriptures. 1 John 3. Beloved, above all else, I wish you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. The power of God, the blessing of God is available for every one of you. And I'd like to see us walk in today. So if this is you this morning, you're saying, listen, I'm ready. My marriage is not doing well. The first step I need you to do right now, if it's marriage related, right now before I pray for you, both babies. Wow. Both the newborns. We've got them kicked. They can't. It's like that. You guys can get prayed later. Both parties, I need you to do this for me first. This is going to sound very somber, but both of you got to humble yourself if you want your marriage fixed. If you want a marriage that's healthy, it takes humble people to do it. It's not always her fault, guys. I mean, a lot of times it can be, but it's not always. It's not always his fault, ladies. It can be. Most likely it is probably the other way around. We don't know. But either way, who cares whose fault it is? Would you agree? You have developed strongholds and mindsets against one another through years of pain and discouragement, disappointment and frustration, and now you're living in this, and believe it or not, you're projecting that on them every single day. When you can look at your spouse and you have those feelings towards them, that is nothing more than built up unforgiveness. So that's what I'm going to lead you in right now. I'm going to pray with you guys. I'm going to pray that every one of you today will walk out of here free if you want it. So let's do this. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And every single person that wants to just walk this out, it's between you and the Lord now. I choose right now to humble myself before you. I've sinned in my relationships. I have not been who you called me to be. I've said things I shouldn't say. I've done things I shouldn't do. Today I come before you and thank you that I am forgiven from every one of my past mistakes. I thank you that I am forgiven for the things I've done. And I humble myself before you today. And I want to see restoration, repairing, and healing in my relationships. And now, Father, I pray supernaturally today. You are the restorer and you are the healer. I would pray that today, every single relationship represented in this room today, that you would bring your healing power and touch every one of these couples, these friendships, every estranged child, every child that's not walking the way that you've called them to walk. Today, we call them back, the prodigals home. And we cry out today for mercy to come upon them and that your conviction, that is, Lord, right now, the kindness of the Lord will lead them to repentance even today. That the ones that are walking away from you, that even know to their heart and are miserable in their heart, that's why they're acting out so stupid. It's because they're miserable with you. That today would be a day that we call them right in the field they're in and we pull them back and say, you are called of the Lord. You and your family shall be saved. And so we speak that over salvation, over all these homes right now represented. That the children who are afar, they're not walking out the things of the Lord. That today we call them home. We call them free. And we call them restored in Jesus' name. For every marriage right now that is teetering, struggling, or maybe it's the one that you're not struggling outwardly, but deep down there is resentment. And there's an unhealthiness. Today we choose to lay those things down and have the grace and the mercy of the Lord heal every marriage in this room. Thank you for your healing, God. Thank you for restoring every single relationship today. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every physical prayer in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we are covenant people. That part of the covenant is that you are the Lord, my God, my healer. And so I choose to lay down sickness. I choose right now to lay down pain. I choose to lay down sickness and disease. And I now choose to embrace the cross, the ransom that you paid for me for my healing. Would you just do me a favor? As we're sitting here in this place, lay down that pain right now. Lay it down. Any back pain, any disease, I put it at the cross where Jesus died and took that away from me for good. And then I now pull from the great salvation of our God. I am redeemed. I am healed. I receive the blessing of healing right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, we break off of you in the name of Jesus. You are free. Jesus said he went around doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So, Lord, as we know oppression, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, can come from the devil, we break off the power of that oppression in the name of Jesus, that physical healing can be received right now with no hindrance in the name of Jesus. He went around. He's anointed to go around healing those oppressed. So, Lord, every oppression we cut off and we break off of your people in the name of Jesus. The destroyer cannot destroy any physical bodies in this room in Jesus' name. His power is broken. And the power of God is being released today for healing. In Jesus' name. And then lastly, Lord, I thank you right now that every area of financial breakthrough needed, we speak it and declare it over. Lord, where there's areas in our lives where we need to be more disciplined, yes. There's areas that we need to be more prudent, yes. But I thank you right now that every area that we know is being robbed and stolen from us, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the destroyer in our finances and we speak prosperity and in peace over every checkbook, every bank account in this room right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we are blessed of the Lord. We are to be prospered of the Lord. And I pray that every single person in this room would walk out of here with that, the destruction over their finances and their livelihood broken off of them, and they are free to be blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Receive all that? Good. All right. Where's Brandy? Brandy, come on up here. Right behind me. Oh, they're back there. Okay. Could I have somebody help me? Thanks, Jared. Go lift it right back and put it behind here. So, Chad, let me question. It's a hot tub. Good job. You did really good. They called me. I was going to come in last night to fill it, and then so they called me, and Chad's like, oh, Kenny's like, Chad's already filling up. I'm like, my first thought was, I wonder how warm or cold he'll make it, just to be mean, right? But no, you did it nice and warm. Brandy. Okay, so Brandy is, I just met Brandy today. But the reason we did baptisms, just so you know, is because she has a really good friend right here in the front row that said God has done some awesome miracles in Brandy's life. And today she wants to make a public just display of what God's done for her. So if I can have a microphone. Is there one here? Is there one? Oh. Kenny. So now, by the way, just to let you know, since Kenny didn't preach this Sunday, he's got the next two. So you better come back and hear his great two-week series coming up, right? Oh, okay. All right, fine. We did it wrong. Jared, he wanted other time. So would you mind just sharing with the church? I know you don't know anybody here except for a few people. I know you said you had family come, but which is awesome support. Would you just share everybody really why you want to be baptized today?
Hello. I was baptized when I was 8 years old, and I'll be 38 this Wednesday, so 30 years ago. And so I've been through a lot since then. I wasn't dealt the easiest hand, and I never really made the best decisions. But you can't have a testimony without a test. And I look back where I was at my worst and to where I am now, and I see that God was with me the whole time.
Go ahead.
And this is just my way of saying I love you too. That's renewing my faith, confessing my sins, and doing what I'm supposed to do.
That's good enough. I think if you want to hop in the water, you guys. And lights off there. Okay. And so as I had a chance to talk to her this morning in my office, I believe. Can you hear me? No. Okay. I believe this, that God is a God of restoration. And as I heard a little bit of her story this morning, there is an awesome chance, no matter if you're 38 or 8, God wants to have a public display of his goodness, his greatness. So today we're going to do this. And then when we're done, I'm going to have Kenny come up here. We're going to pray a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit over her when we're done. And we're going to believe that she's going to walk out of here. And all that junk, you know the water represents? All the stuff that Jesus took and was buried in, he left it there. And when he came out of the grave, he came out with no sickness, no disease, no sin, no nothing, because he all left in the grave. And we're going to leave this water nice and dirty today with everything in it. It's going to stay there. Amen? All right, there we go. So if you want to jump in there, and yes, you can. So here you can walk in on the shallow side. But that way you don't. No one will laugh at you. I promise. Here we go. And you just want to have a seat right there. Nice and warm. What? Sleeves? Oh, my sleeves. Wow. Wow, check out the wife. Get your sleeves. I've done this once or twice, okay? It's probably well over a couple hundred in my life, but it's okay. This is good here. So, Brandy, you've made a public confession of your faith before Christ with everyone represented here. And today, as we do this act of faith, you're believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, your protector, your healer, your deliverer, and he is the one that sets you free from all these things, right? So if you put your hands right here over there. So today, we baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Kenny, come on over. Let's pray for you right now. Amen. Ashley, come on up here. You want to pray? You want to pray? I know you do.
You want me to pray?
Well, no, we're all going to pray, but you can be up here.
Sure.
Father, I thank you for Brandy. I pray right now for this public declaration of faith in Christ. And though she's been through a lot, and though the enemy has tried to destroy years and years of this, today we declare that she is a new believer. She's new, fresh, clean, and whatever left in this water stays there. It's a new beginning. It's never happened before. She's a new creation in Christ. Everything has passed away. And we pray right now for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to come upon her right now. Fresh fire from God would fall upon her. We pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill Brandy up. Where all that stuff was left and cleansed and completely gone, now we pray for the fire of God to consume every part of her life. The freedom of God would flow right now, and we ask for tongues of fire, prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit to be manifest through her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We worship you today, God. Amen. Receive that today? And you can hear me, too. That's good. And you know what? You said you have hearing aids, right? Would you mind? Let's just pray for this right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these ears to be open in Jesus' name. I pray not just better. We pray for healing. We pray for a miracle. Your word does not describe how many miracles and how what becomes a healing to a miracle. Your word says we've been made whole completely. So we pray over these ears and everything, and we ask them to be open right now. We rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name, and we speak healing over her body today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You receive that? Keep walking that out too. Amen? All right. So we want the worship team, or should we just close out? You can ask them. Did anybody change your mind? Kenny wants to know. Anyone wants to be, this last time too. You got a couple more. Anybody want to be baptized today? No? Yeah? Come on up. There we go. Never see Kenny. It never fails. All right. Let's do. All right. He's not sure if it's big enough for you, bud. That's all right. It's going to be. It's going to be. We'll give him time. Anybody else, by the way, while he's getting ready to get those boots? That's just some nice boots, too. Yeah. I did wear my cowboy boots today, too, so just in case I got, that way I didn't have to ruin my dress shoes. All right, anybody else? Okay, good. Well, thanks for being patient with us. We'll get this. Yeah. Oh, well, come on. You guys, it must be boot day. Awesome, awesome. This is great. Kenny, that's why you're here. See, come on up. Amy, she's back there crying already. Doesn't take much, though, right? Normally she's up here crying. You're crying, you're all crying, that's fine. That's good. Let's start. Well, here, then we'll just make sure you get everything out of your pockets. It's good. We got blankets, and blankets are towels today, so this is good. Jump on in. So you want to walk in right here.
It's waterproof.
It's waterproof. All right. Let's grab that microphone back now. All right. We're not done here. Okay. He's fine, he says. All right. So, I guess you better tell everybody since you got walked from the back to the front, why you want to be baptized?
Well, since 1990, after my car accident, I've been searching for God for a long time. My grandparents prayed for me. I lost a good friend in the car accident. I know he's up there in heaven. He was the one that was showing me God was real. And I keep searching him, my wife. She's been praying for me for 20, we've been together 20 years, and every year she's been praying for me. So today I decided I'll give my life to God. And I'm willing to worship him more than ever. He's been good to me and my family. I'm willing to give my life to him. Because last few months, I've been seeing a lot different in my attitude and changed in my life. And I'm grateful to God for that.
Amen. Amen. That's good enough for me. All right, good. Do me a favor. Good instructions too. When I shove you under, if you want to make sure your feet don't fly up, just go ahead and kick in the corner and just keep your feet in the corner. It is funny, and the littler ones especially, you watch them, they fly. It's great. I'll give you a warning. I don't think we're gonna have a problem with him quite yet, but we'll see. All right, well then you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Today you want to make a public display of that. All right. Then today it's my blessing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize you. You pray.
Father, we just thank you for Ray right now. Just speak a blessing over him and ask that you fill him with your spirit. God, just renew in him your love for him. Hallelujah. As you anoint him, Lord, to speak your word boldly, Father, in Jesus' name. Everywhere he would go would be a testimony and testify of your goodness in his life. Goodness upon him, Father, in the name of Jesus. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, and fill Ray again right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. I give you a hug, but please don't. I have been hugged afterwards, by the way, and it's really fun, but no, I'm not inviting. Gary Baker did that. Yeah. Gary came out of that water, and he soaked me. So you might want to take your boots off. No? You're not, he's going boots and all? No. Well, you want to go, I guess, hop in. Chad, you put enough water in? I mean, well, would you mind, I'm going to give you this microphone, would you mind sharing with everybody a little bit about yourself and why you want to be baptized today?
I've been through a lot in the last couple of years. I've been fighting addiction and lost my child and other two children, and God's really shown me that he's there and walking through this with me and here to bless us in our life and our walk. He's really given me a lot in the last couple months and shown me that he's here with us to bless us in this life, and I just want to give it all to him today and show him that I'm here for him.
Awesome. All right. So you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and you believe that he died for you. Amen. All right, well, then it's my blessing today to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. You can come up here. You can come pray with us. Come on. You're about to be married, right? Come on. The fiancé can come up. You can pray us, can you? Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for a fresh baptism of fire to fall. I thank you right now where there was addiction, there's a replacement right now, the fire of God consuming every part of this body. Thank you right now for your peace, your provision. And Lord, I pray right now over every area that they're still struggling. We haven't arrived yet. I thank you that there's provision for freedom, breakthrough in the name of Jesus right now. We pray for your peace, your love, and your blessing to be upon him right now in Jesus' name. We pray for the baptism of fire to consume every part in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I am getting wet. No, this is good. All right. You can get, I don't know. Yeah, she has a sweater too. Yeah. Yeah, she'll take care. Beth takes care of everybody. All right. Well, your turn. So why do you want to baptize today?
Because it's time to show God that I'm his. And he knows it. That's all I want to say.
That's it. That's all she's going to say. That's it. Mic drop. We're done. Your daughter, she even taking the glasses for you. That's good. All right. Well, then you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And today we make a public display of that, right? All right. Today we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Father, we thank you right now the power of your Spirit would just flow today. We thank you, even as we're praying for all the people that are coming out of the water, we thank you for, even as we all get renewed to see these people make these public declarations, as a family of God, we're excited to know that people are wanting to make change in their lives. So we pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now to fall, to fill you up right now from head to toe, that you would be filled with all the fire and the love and the passion of God in your life, that he would not only know you are his, but he is yours. And today, this marks a day of a public declaration from this day forward, a journey of blessing, of healing, of hope. And so we pray right now for your Spirit just to flow and just move mightily in this place now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, bless you. All righty. Amen. All right. Anybody? Nobody last minute here? Run. All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us this morning. If you would, I know they're wet, and some are going to stay wet, by the way. You're welcome to congratulate them and be with them. But more than anything, this is the picture of restoration. The destroyer wants to destroy. Every one of those stories has something in it, addiction and problems and pain. But every one of them have a hope today. They walk out of here. That's the same hope we have, that marriages, families, finances, bodies can be set free and healed because of what he's done for us. Amen. All right, you guys have a blessed week. And don't forget, as Kenny said, there's ways to be involved. And you don't get paid Thursday, he said, but you are going to get free food. So come join us. Have a blessed week.